Philippians chapter number 4 is where we'll... Where I hope is no stranger to you. It is definitely not strange to me. It is a passage of Scripture I have probably... I don't know how many times I've preached. I've never really kept track of the numbers of sermons that I've given. I'm on. But, you figure a, 52 Sundays in a year, roughly is how many sermon or how many Sundays there are. I might preach 48 of them, revivals, vacation times, not included in that. You figure three times on a Sunday and then throw in a Wednesday in that. So, a couple hundred times a year for the last 17 years. It's a few sermons. I've probably preached more times from this chapter than any other chapter in Scripture. And it's one that I feel the Lord dealt with my heart through several things, probably 13, 14 years ago, earlier in the time of my ministry. The Lord showed me several things through this particular passage in Philippians chapter 4, and I thought that I knew everything that was to know about Philippians chapter 4, but there's always something new. Now, I come to this passage because, one, it has helped me personally multiple times throughout my ministry and throughout my personal life. And I know that when we apply these principles of the Word of God, that it will be a help to you in your life as well. And like I said, I've taught much from this chapter. Just want to ask real quick, I do this from time to time, but how many of you, I know in some counseling and things that I've done over the years with multiple people, this is one of the first places that I'll take people, but how many of you, this has ministered to you in your life in times past? Philippians chapter 4. Raise your hand nice and high so everybody can see it. I want you to see testimonies throughout the room of people. Keep your hands up. I want everybody to see. Of this has helped them. So it's not just me. Okay, so you can put your hands down. Thank you very, very much. So it's not just me. Now, I'm doing things very different this morning, and hopefully it will all make sense by the time we're done. I have no idea how long it's going to last. Normally, I'd tell you 35, 40 minutes. It could be 15 to 20. It could be 45 to 60. I really have no clue on a day like today. And again, as we go through, hopefully it will all make sense to you as this thing progresses. I have some things to deal with, and the only way to deal with them was with everyone and being present, the children being here, you being here, all the workers being here. So hopefully everyone will have an understanding of what is going on and what is to happen in the future here at Crossroads Baptist Church, because it affects all of us. Amen? Amen. And we're moving forward. Amen. Amen. It's the only way to go. And that's why I wanted everybody here. Okay, so here, let's just begin reading in verse number 1 this morning. And we're going to read down several verses, probably through verse number 10. All right, so verse number 1 says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. My dearly beloved, I beseech Herodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God,
which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Continue reading. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we love you. And God, I pray today that you would give this peace in which your word gives us the promise of. And Father, I want this to be a time of rejoicing in your goodness, in your provision, in your loveliness. God, may we see your face in all of this. May we see your hand at work. God, as we deal with some difficult things here this morning, I pray that you would bring us to a place of simple rejoicing, that again we might know your goodness. May we know that your mercy is everlasting, that your truth endureth to all generations. That includes ours. It includes those to follow if you tarry. Now in this, God, I pray that you would give clarity of thought, clarity of speech, and clarity of understanding to those that are listening. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified by what is said and done in this place today. For it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray, and that we ask all of these things. Amen and amen. So, I told you everything just a little bit different here today. I'm going to kind of give my own testimony through how the Lord has used this particular passage in my life over the last 4 or 5 days, okay? It's unusual for me. While I'm used to preaching, I'm used to talking, I'm used to giving even personal illustrations, this is still very uncomfortable for me to talk about myself through an entire sermon like I will this morning. So please be patient with me and understanding. Nothing that I am saying here is to bring any attention to myself or even to uplift myself, but to really to give honor and glory to the Lord for what He is doing in my life through His Word. And it's only by the grace of His Word that we're even able to do any of this. Amen? And so I want to preface all of this with that, but I want to give you my journey to peace. And I'll start from last week, and we'll kind of just move forward over, and basically we're talking from last Sunday through today, and where I'm at personally in my life with the Lord. And so last Sunday, if you were not here, I'll just kind of recap. We preached out of Galatians about ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. How many of you discovered whether you were spiritual or fleshly? How many of you discovered you're both? Hopefully you discovered you're more spiritual than you are fleshly. But I tell you, we don't. I don't typically plan months and weeks ahead for most Sunday morning sermons. For a preacher, for a pastor, I will tell you, you begin the week on Monday just like everyone else does. I know Sunday begins the week, but we begin the week on Monday knowing that next Sunday is coming. Amen? And how many want to know that no matter who's standing behind the desk here, to know that they're prepared to deliver what thus saith the Lord? Well, I will tell you that's not as easy as sometimes it looks in preparing and giving and knowing what thus saith the Lord. Hopefully we make it look easy and fun to do, but it's not always. And so so Monday morning rolls around and we the pressure is there. Sunday is coming. Now, we have a midweek service, so really it starts even before that, knowing that Wednesday is coming. And so we prepare a little differently for Wednesday than we do Sunday, but Wednesday is coming first, and so we got to make sure Wednesday's taken care of, and usually I'm a couple of weeks ahead for Wednesday, so it's a little easier through the week and things like that, but just kind of giving you a little bit of background here to preface all of this. And so, but Sunday's always coming, okay? And so you have that, and it comes week after week, and there hasn't been a Sunday yet that hasn't come. Amen. It just keeps coming. It just keeps on coming. And so, again, you have to prepare for that. And then, and we prepare, you know, through the week. I'm not going to give you my entire schedule. If you want to know, I'll give it to you later. But so then Tuesday comes and Wednesday comes. And, you know, nearly every day, typically Sundays and Wednesdays are my most, what I would consider to be routine days. And now there are some things on Wednesdays that come that you have to, you know, be flexible with and all of that. But typically Sunday and Wednesday, if there's any routine of what I do, it's in those 2 days because Sunday is coming and Wednesday is coming. And so those are very routine days. So this past Wednesday, I came in after my Monday, after my Tuesday, and Wednesday became very, very early in the day. It totally knocked me out of my routine. I mean, just totally knocked me out of my routine. For those of you that don't know, we have a homeschool group that meets here every Wednesday morning through the school year, and they do classes and different things. We have about 80 to 100 kids that come through, and they do that. Well, in order for that to happen, the building has to be unlocked, the lights have to be turned on, and so that's usually how my Wednesday mornings begin. And so I came in this past Wednesday morning, turning lights on just as I normally do, and came in here, flipped the light switch on right there, and, you know, looking through, making sure the air conditioners are on and all of that. And this is where the day took a crazy turn of events, okay? So walking in, turn the light on, going to the back to turn another light on. As I'm walking back this way, I noticed something that was unusual. This door was open. You can see these doors are closed right now. They're typically closed. And so I thought, well, that's strange. And then I walked over and just stuck my head in the door. Now, over the last 10 or 12 weeks, if you've been here, you've noticed that we've been taking an offering. Change offering for the Coffee family and for Camp Rhino. And so I opened the door, and you already know, I don't even have to say it, do I? It's gone. It's gone. And just like many of you right now, my heart sank. You get that feeling in the pit of your stomach like you've been violated. And I thought, oh, no. Are you serious? Are you kidding me? And so I thought, somebody moved it. And so I went and looked in every closet in the building, opening doors and moving things, and it's gone. I didn't know what to do. Now, my typical routine, after turning the lights on and all of that, I go in my office, I sit down, and I open my Bible because Sunday's coming. And first, Wednesday's coming. And I typically do my personal Bible reading, and then I begin studying for continuing studying for Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night and going through what I'm going to give on Wednesday night. But that day, I sat down and first thing I did was I texted Brother Coffee, and I said, man, you're not going to believe this. And I don't remember exactly what I said, but something to the effect of all the money we've been raising for you, it's gone. Somebody took it. And we texted for a few moments, and he, you know, was trying to be encouraging and all of that, and he was very much. to me, help put some things in perspective, and you know, right away. But we finally, you know, finished texting, and I sat down and opened my Bible, and I found myself just staring at it. I couldn't read. I found myself not even wanting to read. Now look, I told you I'm trying, I'm wanting to be as transparent as I can be. Okay? I was not the spiritual one at 7:50 Wednesday morning. As a matter of fact, I was beginning to get very fleshly. Because anger started to come inside. Self-pity began to come inside. And it was troublesome. I didn't even stay here. I went home, told Rachel what happened. You know, her reaction, the same as mine. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Texted Shane and told him. And eventually told others. And, you know, the same reaction. Are you serious? Yes. But again, that same feeling. We had a finance advisory board meeting Wednesday night. Had to prepare for. And look, understand something. When these things happen, the day has to go on. Okay? The day has to go on. You have to continue doing what it is you're doing, and you have to continue. And as a good leader, I heard a quote many years ago, said a good leader is one who hides his panic. And I thought, okay, today's a hide the panic kind of day. I'm not sure that was the best advice, honestly. I know what's meant behind it and all of that, but I mean, and not that I was really panicking for panic's sake, but because there's nothing we could do, you know. So I went through the motions of Wednesday. We came in, we had Bible study, but you know, I'll tell you, Wednesday I was still pretty upset. I was still pretty angry Wednesday night after Bible study and all of that. It was troublesome. You know, went home and ate a little bite to eat and watched some TV, trying to concentrate on watching what was on. And really, though, not being able to clear the mind, you know what I mean? And having conversations. We talked about it in the FAB meeting and came up with some plans, and talk more about that here in a few minutes. But talked through some things of, all right, you know, hey, here's where we're at, but what do we do now? Where do we go from here? And we formulated a plan, and I'm going to give you that plan in just a few moments of what is to come. But Thursday came, and I'll just tell you, Thursday wasn't that much better than Wednesday. Seriously. Thursday came, and Thursday morning, it was just a blah day. I sat down to read my Bible again, and I still didn't want to read. And I didn't. How many of you have been there before? Good. Thank you for making me feel better about my sinful ways, you sinners. But I didn't want to read. And I wasn't blaming God or anything like that. I couldn't. And so I got through about 12 o'clock, 12:30, and did a few things and, you know, made a couple of phone calls, did what I needed to do, and I said, you know what, I just need to go. And I went and said, I just need to be alone with the Lord. And I didn't take any phone calls, didn't take any text messages, and Philippians chapter 4 just came to mind. And isn't it just like God that when you can't read, when you can't look something up, He just has a way of bringing things to mind that you learned a long time ago. And I started in my mind, I know this passage. I started going through and started with Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And I thought, and here's the thought that entered my mind. All right, preacher, you've given this passage. Are you going to use it? I needed peace on Wednesday, but I refused to get it. And I still needed peace on Thursday, and I refused to get it until about 1:30, 2 o'clock. Just spending time alone with God. And I had to begin to rejoice. I didn't want to rejoice, but I had to. And I did my best. I was not in a place where I could write these things down, and so I just kept going over them over and over and over in my mind. And it wasn't until about halfway through the day that I thought, okay, because I didn't know what was the best case scenario and even have to tell the congregation, okay, the money jug is gone. I called other pastors who have dealt with things like this before, and I said, hey, I need some help here. How do I deal with this, and how do I go through this? And I will tell you, I'm going against all of their advice. They all told me to do something different. And I thought, you know what? This isn't their church. They're not the pastor. I am. So I have to do it how I would do it. And so this is what you get. I'm sorry. But I began with rejoicing. Because, I'm giving you my journey to peace. How did I get peace through all of this? And I will tell you, today is Sunday. I'm at peace. Now, I'm not comfortable with what I'm doing right now. I'd rather not have to be doing it, to be honest with you. But I'm at peace. Because it began with rejoicing, though. And here are some of the things that I wrote down later that I rejoiced over. And the first thing I rejoiced over in that nothing else was missing. Nothing else was gone. Just money. And can I remind you very quickly, it's just money. And look, I'm not trying to make light of it because I know you have sacrificed. I've sacrificed. I put money in that jug. But I want to remind you of something very, very, very important. That when it goes from our pocket into an offering plate or into a jug, it's no longer ours. And I rejoiced in the fact that nothing else was missing. We didn't have to replace a $3,000 soundboard. Amen. We didn't have to replace $600 and $700 computers. Nothing else was missing. I rejoiced in that I didn't encounter the thief. I didn't have to have a physical altercation. Because I'll tell you, it probably would have got physical. Could have. And I probably would have lost. Who knows? But I didn't have to encounter that. Who knows what the Lord spared there? And I rejoiced in that. Hey, I rejoiced that it happened in April and not the week before missions conference when the jug would have been full. What a time for it to happen. I wish it would have happened 6 weeks ago when it wasn't as much, but I can still rejoice it wasn't the week before. I'd rejoiced, and I'll say this again, it wasn't my money, it was God's. And again, I'm not being flippant there. I'm not. The reason I rejoiced in that is because I also rejoiced in the fact that I learned a long time ago that God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Hey, look, I'm rejoicing today that we don't have to sit around and try to figure out who done it. I told all the men in the Finance Advisory Board meeting, I said, I understand we could sit around and we could try to figure out who did it and who had access and all of that. I said, but the fact of the matter is, every one of us are suspects. And if anyone had more opportunity than anybody else, it's me. And I know I didn't do it. And I know I don't want to be accused of it. But the fact of the matter is, God already knows. And since it was His money, we don't have to worry about that. He's already taken care of it. Hallelujah. It's His. And you see, in all of this, I'm sitting here all day Wednesday. I'm getting angry and I'm getting upset and I'm going through all of these things in my mind of you know, look, Lord, you know we had plans for that. We were gonna take that jug, and I was looking forward to taking that jug and bringing it in, you know, as heavy as can be, and say, "All right, Brother Coffee, here, you get to count it all." I was looking forward to that. I'd already told Brother Coffee what we were doing. I'd sent him pictures of the jug as it had filled up, and he was excited about it. And man, Wednesday I was deflated. All of my plans done. But do you know that we can rejoice this morning? Because when we started all that and we sacrificially gave and we put all that money in and man, it was growing, that God already knew that we weren't going to do all that. We can rejoice in these things. And so I began to rejoice. Reluctantly, I must say. But I began to rejoice and tried to find things to rejoice in. I rejoiced in the comments from the Finance Advisory Board, in their spirit and the whole thing, because I take this stuff kind of personal. I feel personally responsible in these things, and every one of them are like, you don't need to feel that way. It's not your fault. Blah blah blah, not blah blah blah. You know what I mean? That's all I heard was that, but they were very very kind to me, and I rejoiced in those things. But beyond that, beyond the rejoicing, I had to pray. And realize that in our rejoicing, that's really how we ought to come and begin our prayer to God. And in my prayer, I began to ask God for wisdom, for direction, and how to deal with this. Again, we've been broken into before, the church has. You know, we've had computers stolen, we've had you know, personal items stolen, and all of that. But for some reason, this one just it seemed to be more personal than other times. And so I had to pray to ask God how to deal with this and how to inform the church. And you know, a letter didn't seem to be appropriate. Making 75 phone calls didn't seem to be appropriate. Putting it on social media definitely didn't seem to be appropriate. And so this is, I feel like, what the Lord gave me through prayer and through seeking His face. Because the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we prayed. I know the Finance Advisory Board members prayed, and the deacons prayed, and the trustees prayed, and all of those that were aware. And, you know, over the next several days, I appreciate the men that, you know, checked in on me to ask how I was doing. And I know they were praying, and others, you know, saying they were praying, and different ones. But I will tell you, though, by Thursday afternoon, I had decided that I'm not going to stay in anger and self-pity and, you know, all of this. I'm just going to rejoice. And I believe the Lord allowed me to rejoice and all of that. And then I started digging a little deeper in here. And you notice in verse number 7, the Bible says, "And the God and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You see, when we rejoice, and again, I know I'm making this very personal, and I want it to be personal today, because I know I rejoiced, and then I began praying, God granted me peace. And that is exactly what the Bible says will happen. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And God gave me peace. And I needed peace. And so it continued with prayer. And it continued with peace from God that really didn't make much sense. But it continued also with a changing of my thoughts. Because you notice here where the Bible says, and, first of all, it's connecting something. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God. You see, they're all connected. They all go through. If you want God's peace and you need God's peace in your life, begin by rejoicing. Continue through prayer. And then let God change your thoughts. Notice the first thing as he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I had to change my thoughts. Whatsoever things are true. Here are the thoughts that I believe the Lord gave me through this. The truth is, this was an act against God, not an act against our church or me personally. That's the truth. Whatsoever things are true, this was against God. You know, when David sinned with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed, and we come to the 51st Psalm, he said and he stated, Lord, I have sinned against thee, and thee only have I sinned. I say all this to remind you that this wasn't ours. Not that I'm not concerned about it, not that I'm not troubled by it, not that I'm not bothered by it, because I was all of those things. But at the end of the day, we have a mighty God. We have a wonderful God who knows all things. And let's just be real, real pointed here. God can replace that money. And that's the truth. He says, whatsoever things are honest. I'm doing my best, I promise you, to be as transparent as I can be through all of this. And all we can do is deal with these things honestly and before God. And that's what I'm trying to do here. Whatsoever things are honest, I want to be transparent in all of this. He says, whatsoever things are just. Just, this is the justice. We seek justice a lot, don't we? You know, when something like this happens, you know, we want justice. We want the perpetrator to be found. We want them to be caught. We want their hands cut off, to the fullest penalty of the law. We don't necessarily want their hands cut off, but some of you might. I don't know. We want justice. But the fact of the matter is, this justice isn't ours. It's God's. It's God's. And God always deals with things justly, and justice is His to have and His alone. Whatsoever things are pure. I think our motive was pure. We wanted to help missions and help build a camp that children could go through and be saved and be trained to serve the Lord and all of that. I think our motives were pure in what we were doing. Whatsoever things are lovely. Here's something that I think would be probably one of the more spiritual things that we can think on through a time like this. This is truly lovely. Whoever did it has the same grace and mercy and love of God extended to them just like you did and just like I did. That's lovely. We may not like to feel that way, but I think that's probably the most spiritual way we could think through something like this. God's mercy is extended to them just like it was extended to us. Oh, hallelujah. We still have time. Whatsoever things are of good report. Well, we're trying to raise $2,500, right? We still have time. better than that. You say, Pastor, how much was in the offering, in the jug? I have no idea. But I can tell you this. Here's a good report. One, it doesn't matter because it's gone. Two, we've already gotten $750 in to replace what was taken. That's a good report. Somebody should say amen there. Okay, thank you. That's a wonderful report. More may come in. I have no idea. It doesn't matter. But a good report is, okay, it's gone, it's taken, it's done. Good report is $750 already back. Amen. All right. So good report. Hey, if there be any virtue, let me give you a few things here in this. If there be any virtue. Virtue is a moral goodness. All right. I will tell you as the pastor met with the deacons, the trustees, finance advisory board, everybody was together. I did not do all that I could do to make sure that money was safe, secure, and in the proper place. And I apologize to our congregation for that. And I take full responsibility in all of it. The virtue here is, how do we fix it? What do we do from here on out? Do we not take an offering? I don't think that would be the right thing to do. That's like giving up. That's moving backwards, not going forwards. And we want to move forwards. And so we sat down and we formulated a plan where we still want to take an offering. I tell you, I enjoy watching the children go around. I think some of you enjoy the children coming around. Some of you may be annoyed by it, and you're wrong. I happen to enjoy it. It's lovely. It's wonderful. And so we're going to continue doing it. Amen. We're not going to stop this. Let some thief come in and stop what God has given a vision for us to do. But we are going to handle things differently. Because if there be any virtue, we're not going to leave it here. Amen. It's going to get counted every week. It's going to get deposited in the bank, and it's going to be accounted for in a weekly total as we move on, so you will know what we have left to reach the goal. We're not starting it at zero. We're starting at 750. Okay? But you have my word. You have the word of the Finance Advisory Board that it'll be counted and accounted for and reported every week. Okay? Every week. Until the day comes of our missions conference and we hand a check to Brother Mark Coffey instead of a jug of money. Okay? And we'll do that. And that's the virtue in all of this. So that's how we have to think. We're not going to leave ourselves open for it to happen again. Amen? And then he says, if there be any praise. Again, I'm thankful, and I do honestly give God the praise for, one, allowing me 15 years ago to spend some time in Philippians chapter 4, that in a time for myself that I needed this, that I couldn't read, that I couldn't spend time digging in, God let me dig a long time ago, and he brought it to my mind, and I praise the Lord for that. And you'll notice that through this, again, he says in verse number 9, he says, those things, think on these things in verse 8, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And look what he says again, and the God of peace shall be with you. I knew on Wednesday Sunday was coming, and I was dreading it. Until Thursday, and God gave me this. And then honestly, I couldn't wait. I thought, Lord, you've given me something that I can give and that I can look people in the eye and be accountable to and for. And I can tell you, that's my journey to peace. I just did what the Bible says. And I can look everybody in the eye and tell you that I am at peace with all of this. I don't like it. So, I mean, again, I don't like it. I don't like what happened. I don't have joy that somebody came in and stole from God. But I have peace to know that God already knew, and that God takes care of all, that God will provide, and His justice will be served, whether we ever see it or not. It's none of my business, and it's none of your business. What is our business is to continue on. What is our business is to continue doing what God has given us to do, and that is exactly what I intend to do, and I hope you will join me in that. And I hope you'll join me in praying through these things, in praying for these things, for our missions conference. I'll tell you, if I could tell you everything that happened through the week, we wouldn't have time. But I leave with this in verse number 10, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly." So he began with this rejoicing by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. So the Lord is at hand. This didn't catch God by surprise or off guard or anything like that. So we must start with rejoicing. We must continue with prayer. We must gain that peace so that we can change our thinking. Once we change our thinking, we can continue in peace and rejoice again and more. I don't know exactly what God's going to do. I'm not even trying to figure out what God is going to do. But I do know this, His care of me and your care of me has flourished. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you can as well. So where do we go from here? We don't have a jug. Rachel called me this morning. She said, "Do you have a new jug?" And I said, "No." She said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, one step at a time. I had to do this first." So that's why the change. I couldn't allow myself to take an offering, put it in a jug, and then have to explain all of this. I couldn't do that. So I needed to explain all of these things first so that we could prepare to take an offering. Some of you may have come prepared for this. I hope you did. Many of you have. I've seen it. You come prepared. You bring change. You bring dollar bills. You bring all of that. And I trust that you've done that today. And we're going to do that. That's why the children are still here. It was easier to have them in here for this time than it was to bring them back in. And I think it's important for them to hear all these things. So they can. I would much rather these children learn this principle at 7 or 8 years old instead of like me at 26, 27. Young people, you can trust God. All right? Now we're going to take an offering. Okay? Where's Melissa? You can come. You're going to play with eternity's values in view. Hey, listen, this is what it's all about. We're doing this for eternity's values. Okay? This isn't about our values. This is for eternity. You don't know a dime or a nickel that you put in an offering plate. It'll go to change a child's life. Amen. All right, Bob, are you ready? All right. We don't have a jug. I need you to just come. Do we have offering plates down here? Get that offering plate back there. There's one on the table. The kids are going to come and dump it in, and I hope it overflows, and Bob has to hold it in his hands.